You can open up to Romans chapter 10 and Hebrews 1. Oh, because it's going to be a quick transition. I might as well let you know. Romans chapter 10 and Hebrews 11. Now, Romans chapter 10, verse 8, Amplified, says this. But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word, the message, the basis of faith, which we preach. See, and that's what we preach here. Amen. So the word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. Now, Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. No one else could have done it. No one. To purge us of our sins. But when you look up, it says, by his Son, in verse 2, we see the emphasis rest on the character of the revelation of the Son. A revelation not so much in what he has said as is in who he is and what he has done. Purged us? Then it goes on to say, through whom also he made the worlds. Well, in John chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, God created everything through him. Who is him? The Word. Okay? God created everything through the Word, and nothing was created except through him, the Word. How do we know that? Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God has appointed him heir of all things. Now, a reminder, we are God's children, his sons and daughters. Then that's heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. What Jesus has inherited, we have inherited as well. Man, that makes my hair stand up underneath my coat. Should yours too. Hallelujah. But he says also, being the brightness of his glory, the sun shines with the shining greatness of God's glory, is what that says. It's what it said to me. The sun is as God is in every way. The emphasis on, in there you see, express image in verse 3. You get that? Express image in verse 3 occurs only here in the New Testament and means exact representation or exact character. Makes you look at that scripture a little bit differently, doesn't it? Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we are going to start reading at verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. Now remember, he's talking to his disciples here. And especially the one he's talking to right now is Thomas. Okay. Jesus said to Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Now, if you ever watched the Muppets, when one of the characters is happening, then it looks at everybody else and goes, "Did I ask the right question? Did I ask the right question?" Oh, well, we're going to find out here, because Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show you the Father?" Why? Jesus is the visible, tangible image of the invisible God. He is the complete revelation of what God is like. Jesus explained to Philip here, who wanted to see the Father, that to know me is to know the Father. How do we get to know him? Through the Word. So to know him through the Word is to know the Father as well. You can hold your place there and go to Colossians. Colossians. And we're going to go to chapter 1. And we're going to look to verse 15. Now we're coming back there, so don't lose your place there in John. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 here. It says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him, for him." This is one of the strongest statements about the divine nature of Jesus found anywhere in the Bible. Amen. Jesus is not only equal to God, he is God. As the image of the invisible God, he is the exact representation of God. He not only reflects God, but he reveals God to us as the firstborn over all creation. He has all the priority and authority of the firstborn prince of the king's household. He came from heaven, not from the dust of the earth. And he is Lord of all. He is completely holy and has all authority to judge the world. 2 Corinthians here, and when we go to chapter 5, and verse 10. "For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body." Therefore, Jesus is supreme over all creation, including the spirit world. We must believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is God. Or our faith is hollow, it's misdirected, and it is meaningless. Wow. Oh, it is. Back to John. We're up on verse 10 there. Back to John, verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Remember, he's still talking to Philip, but the whole group is there listening. And you're listening. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. When Jesus says we can ask for anything, we must remember, though, that our asking must be in his name. That is according to God's character and his will. The word of God is the will of God. When we go to God's word, we find the thoughts of God's heart, his will to you and me. The word of God shows us his will for our lives. Amen? Now, the scriptures, rightly divided, are the words of God. They are his will for every man, woman, and young person. God will not grant requests contrary to his nature or his word. And we cannot use his name as a magical formula to fulfill our selfish desires. If we are sincerely following God and seeking to do his word, then our request will be in line with what he wants, and he will grant them. Don't ever make the mistake of thinking you're too busy to spend time in the Word of God. The truth is, you can't afford not to spend time in it. Even if you've walked with the Lord for years, you can't afford to rest on your spiritual laurels. And just to try to live on the Word that you heard in the past, that's dangerous. That's one dangerous way to operate, folks. What we consistently put into our heart will determine whether we walk in victory or defeat. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 and 22. My son, people of ACA, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. That alone should motivate us to be in the Word of God. Health to your whole body. I didn't say it. The Word said it. Is the Word true? Mm-hmm. Word up. There's tremendous power in His Word. So, we read Hebrews chapter 1. Remember verse 3? It said, the Son is upholding all things by the word of His power. What is the word of His power? It's faith power. It's faith power. Faith is the name of the creative spiritual force of God, and it is produced in our born-again human heart or spirit by hearing the Word of God. Just as faith comes by hearing the Word of God, just a little reminder, fear comes by hearing and believing the lies of the devil. Yeah? John 10:10, right? Jesus tells us. He said, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The very first thing Satan wants to do is to steal the Word from us, to get us into doubting what the Word has said. Feed your faith, what? And doubt your doubts. And the only way you do that is by feeding your faith with the Word of God. I didn't say feed your face. I said feed your faith. Because if He's able to steal the Word from you, then He's able to make your life's journey here miserable. Don't let Him steal the Word from you. When you read the Word and then He comes and tries to steal it, you go back and reinforce it with the Word and you'll shut Him up real quick. Okay? But I got to say this one, rejoice because of what Jesus completes with this, right? He says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. He got to like that, more abundantly. More abundantly means to have a super abundance of a thing. Ah, I like that. Abundant life refers to life in its abounding fullness of joy and strength for spirit, soul, and body. All right, my brother, I sent this to you the other day. When facing an extremely difficult situation, even when the evidence may be overwhelming, we must put our total confidence in God's Word. Young lady, are you hearing me? Okay. All right. Speaking and acting like we believe it, and praising and worshiping Him, the Lord, for the answer in the midst of controversial and contrary evidence, will bring victory every time if we will stay with it and see it through. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus doesn't just tell the truth. He is the truth. His word is truth. And you know what? It never fails. The Word of God never fails. Think about that. That's why when you speak it in faith, you stay in faith, and it will not fail. But it has to be His Word, not your words. What His Word says over what you are looking for, what your situation is, what your problem is, doesn't make a difference. It's in the Word. Everything is covered. There's nothing new under the sun. He put 66 books together. Not 67. He put 66. And He finished it with a book of Revelation. And He says, that's how the end's going to come. So we should be happy for the end when it does come. But for right now, we're to stay the course. We're here for a reason. We got to make sure that everybody gets to heaven. That's what he wants. Everybody to get saved. Everybody that wants, what needs to know the salvation message about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19. Deuteronomy 30, chapter. Yes. Look to verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. We must choose to fill our hearts with the Word of God. Put the Word of God about your specific situation in your ears and before your eyes, and speak it boldly out of your mouth. Faith will begin to grow, and it'll choke out the fear. Jesus is the Word made flesh, the living Word. And He is love. Scripture tells us that. For God is love. 1 John 4:8. For God is love. And then if you drop down to verse 18, it says, perfect love casts out fear. If we'll say with a word, believe, we receive what it says, and act like it's true, no devil in hell can stop the power of God's Word from manifesting healing to your specific situation, whether it's physically, emotionally, or financially. Our faith activates the Word of God. See, it's on us. He's provided everything with us. Even given us the faith. You know, everyone has faith. Everyone has faith. That's how you got born again. You had faith. But then, when you got born again, you had the faith of God in you. That's the difference. See, faith is the spiritual creative force of God. God the Father spoke words of faith, and Holy Spirit took the substance of His faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But He took God's substance, which He spoke, of faith, and formed billions of miles of universe at the speed of light. Because in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, an empty waste, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Holy Spirit was hovering, waiting for the faith command from God. Four words, let there be light. And Holy Spirit took off at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles per second, forming billions of miles of universe. You know, right there, I wanted to do this because I know sometimes I wanted to shut all the lights off, then have somebody go back and go, one, two, three, because that's what it was like. And he was out, and they're flying. And you know, there's nothing faster. And we had a scientist that had to prove it. E equals mc squared. Einstein proved there is nothing faster. Nothing. And the Holy Spirit was traveling at that, man. You talk about watching one of them shows. Ah, he was just going, man. Whoo! Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, faith, see, is the currency of heaven. Without it, it is impossible to please God. It is a law of God that operates from the heart, not the mind. We received God's own faith when we were born again. And as joint heirs with Jesus, we are seated together with him in the heavenly places. It's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Okay? God's word I'm giving you. Sometimes I got to make sure I understand. I am giving you scriptures to go along with this. He expects us to boldly use the faith he gave us to do the mighty works he did and even greater works than he did. I remind you, what does it say in John 14, 12? I tell you the truth. If you're listening here at ACA, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. And it's going to take the God kind of faith. Mark chapter 11. Well, Pastor, you sure seem to repeat a lot of scriptures and use them for, and I use them for enlightenment because Holy Spirit says, they haven't got it. And he says, in fact, you haven't got it. And I won't. And I got to humble myself and say, yeah, you're right. Because I find myself at times waffling, but not very long. I quickly get back up. And I pour the batter and you have a pancake instead of waffling. Okay. I was just to get your attention, make sure I know you're hearing me. Okay. Okay, you're there in Mark. Because it's vitally important that we get everything we can. I mean, you can go, this scriptures can keep just bringing more and more and more out. And yes, it's the same script, but it's there's more and more and more in it. God is just so good. Mark chapter 11, verse 12. Now remember, this is right after he gets done with the temple and all that. Okay. He's going down here. Okay, let's see. Where is he at? All right. Okay, verse 12. Now the next day, when they had come from Bethany, he was hungry. The day before, remember the day before, what did he do? Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He just rode the donkey. Verse 13. And seeing from afar off, a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he could find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing. Nothing but leaves. For it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And the disciples heard it. And the disciples heard it. Now we're going to drop down to verse 20, okay? Because now, and so that was that morning. Now, 24 hours later, the next morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fruit tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Now, I want us to look at verse 22, where it says, "Have faith in God." Why? Well, Greek scholars tell us this should be translated, have the God kind of faith. Okay? Translators weren't perfect. Okay? Now, Jesus, he demonstrated that he had the God kind of faith. While he was afar off, he saw that the fig tree had leaves. But as he approached it, looking for fruit, he saw that it was barren. You may ask that question, why Jesus looked for figs on this tree when it was not the time for them to be ripened? It was not their season. However, in that country, trees that retained their leaves usually had figs also. Finding no fruit on the tree, Jesus said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And it didn't. The next day, when Jesus and his disciples passed by again, they found the tree dried up from the roots. Amazed, Peter said, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. It was then, excuse me, it was then that Jesus made the statement, have faith in God. Or as the Greek scholars tell us, should have been translated, have the faith of God. Have the, excuse me, the God kind of faith. After telling his disciples to stop, after telling his disciples to have the God kind of faith, Jesus went on to explain what this meant. The God kind of faith is a faith in which a man believes with his heart and says with his mouth that which he believes in his heart, and it comes to pass. There are two things to notice about the God kind of faith, which you and I have. When you are born again, God's faith went into you. First, man believes with his heart. Second, he believes with his words. He believes with his words. How are you speaking? How are you speaking? It isn't enough just to believe in your heart. In order to get God to work for you, you must believe with your words also. Jesus said, whosoever shall say and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Young lady, I hope you heard that. I'm going to say that again. Whosoever shall say and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. This is the unalterable law of faith. It cannot be altered. Do you hear me? But I wasn't going to go back, but I had to finish this because the Holy Spirit said this. Because at verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Therefore I say to you, this is Jesus speaking. Are you listening? Whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them. And you will have them. Jesus said that. Jesus said that. That there is called the prayer of faith. And that's how we have to pray. We pray in faith. And when you pray His word, it's powerful. Believing and speaking are the very keys to faith for us. A heart filled with the God kind of faith, born from a blood covenant-backed word of Almighty God, will eventually come pouring out of our mouths with the force of the Lion of the tribe of Judah who lives inside each and every one of you. And that is with the dunamis power of God. Dunamis power. It's a different one, isn't it, brother, than exorcia? That's God's kind of power. And it's the kind of faith that's in us. Satan wants to tell you you don't have that kind of faith. You do have that kind of faith. It's in you. Bring it out. Start to develop it. Start to use it. It's the word, the word, the word that we got to speak. There's power in His word. His words are full of faith. Jesus. This kind of faith that spoke the world into existence. That's what we have in us. Jesus said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Luke 6:45. What you putting in? Garbage in, garbage out. God's words are containers filled with His faith, and they have power within them to bring themselves to pass. A heart filled with God's word will produce the same kind of mountain-moving, devil-crushing faith which Jesus opened blind eyes with, healed the lepers, and raised the dead, and calmed the storm. Peace, be still. You have that power. Felicia, Kumai, raise up, little girl. Be cleansed of what He said. You have that same power. It's a word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Putting God's word before our eyes, in our ears, and in our mouth causes faith to begin to grow in our hearts. A plant, if not properly watered and fed, will not grow. We know that. The same as with our faith. If not watered and fed daily with the word of God, will not grow. And you wonder why you get conquered. You wonder why you go through the things you do. It's the word. You got to speak the word. You need to spend time in the word. You need to spend time with the Heavenly Father. He desires that intimacy. He wants to be close to you. Amen. As we feed on the word and listen to God's voice, the fruit of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, will flow out of us and overcome the law of sin and death. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Time spent with God is never wasted. It always pays rich, rewarding dividends for us. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Hallelujah. Yeah, I've been staying on the Word because I think the Word's important for us. I think the more that we spend time on Sundays mornings with the Word, but it's just not then. You can't survive on a one shot. No. You got to keep going up. Because when the ball's passed to you and you shoot it, you want to make sure. But if you don't and it bounces off, you better do a rebound real quick, get it, and sling it. And if you can't, then you drive in, don't you, Doc? And you slam dunk it is what you do. And you do that with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, right now, we're going to take communion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.